The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
My message is be the new, and we've been talking about service. And I like for us to really focus on what it really means to be a servant. Because being a servant in our society, we've lost the true meaning of servanthood. We truly live in a consumer-oriented society. We all know this. Everywhere we go, you know, if you go to a restaurant, it's all about you being served, right? If you go to even to a grocery store, they have people there serving you. It's about if you go to a home improvement store, there's people serving. No matter where we go and what we do, it's all about service. In fact, a large part of our economy is based on service-oriented businesses. So being served is an important part of our culture these days. However, that same idea about service, you know, I think about even in our gas stations these days, as we think about it, it reinforces the idea that the individual is very, very important because they're self-serving, right? Amen? So everywhere we look, service, being served, or feeling like it's necessary for my needs to be met are uppermost in most people's minds. And the reality is that it's bleeding over into our church. It's bleeding over into the body of Christ. Because what we have created is a very service-oriented religious experience on Sunday mornings. We create a place where you can come in on Sunday mornings and you can hear good music. You can get a meal on a Word of God. You just get a half hour, 45 minutes of somebody standing up here in front of you and telling you what the Word of God says or telling you what you should be doing. You get a little dessert of fellowship by saying, hi, how you doing, and out the door. And we can barely get out the doors in most of our churches because we're such fat cats, spiritually fat cats, that we can't move around. We don't get any exercise when it comes to service. Amen? So, yeah, we're getting all this information, but it's really important that we learn to operate as servants in the body of Christ. And Jesus made it perfectly clear. You know, all this structure that we have established. And I love church. I love the church. I love what we do. And I love the fact that we're able to worship like we do. And I get to preach the Word of God. And we get to go. I've gone to other churches. And I listen to podcasts all the time of different people preaching the Word. I devour the Word. And I want to hear what other people's opinions about the Word of God is. But the reality is, if all we do is go to church, we're missing the mark. It's about service. It's about serving one another. I fear that our motto in the church these days is that ask not what the church can do for you, but ask when it's going to do it.
Come on now.
Amen?
That's the truth.
Because that's what we think overall. Now, I've got to tell you, I want to say this about Bethel. I recognize we have a group of people that are servants. We really do. I see you serving. I see you serving in the church on Sunday mornings. I see you serving as teachers in the cafe. I see you serving as ushers. I see things going on, serving one another, being there for each other. I see people doing things for each other, you know, groups of people who will go to somebody's house and help them when they're in need, or cook meals for people and take it to them when they're sick, or meet somebody's need in regards to, you know, they need some kind of construction work done. We have a group of men and women that will just do that. We gather together and we recognize that these needs need to be met, and we're going to serve those people. So I'm not condemning you this morning, but I just want you to be very aware of the overall attitude that the Church of Jesus Christ has about worship. You know, we call this church. This is not church. This is an exercise that the church goes through. It's not about, I'm not condemning it. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying that we're missing the mark. I'm just saying that it's an exercise that we do. We are the church. And we must act like the church and carry our service toward one another. Jesus said, serve God. And we've already started talking about that, and I'll elaborate on that just a little bit more this morning. Jesus said, serve God. He said, serve one another. He said, serve your family. He said, serve your neighbor. Jesus' ministry was all about service. Wherever he went, he served other people. He healed the sick, set them free. He delivered. He did all kinds of miracles as he ministered to people. Jesus served, and he's our example. Amen. So we're all, and we must always be, keep our focus on the reality of who we are in Christ, and that is servants. I'm really concerned about the celebrity mentality that we have in the church these days. And it's not just these days. I mean, it's been going on for a long time. We have always put ministers, televangelists, pastors, preachers, and teachers on pedestals and made them feel like they were celebrities. And that was wrong. And sometimes they made us feel like they're supposed to be treated like celebrities. And that's wrong. We're all part of the body of Christ. Not a one of us is any better than another. We have different responsibilities, absolutely. My responsibility as the pastor of this church is a huge burden sometimes. I just want you to understand that. Because I feel the pain that people go through. I feel the issues that are happening in individual lives. I feel the anguish of the sickness and the disease. And I'm just so thankful that we have a group of people that will lay hands on one another and pray for each other. Praise God that we believe in the Word of God. And we're willing to lift up each other. As the body of Christ, we've got to carry one another's burdens and serve each other. So, as I continue on this vein this morning in service, first of all, I want to make it perfectly clear that I do believe overall the Church of Jesus Christ is missing the mark. But I do also believe that Bethel is getting closer to where we're supposed to be. We haven't arrived, and we're never going to arrive. We're going to keep striving. But I want us to be about serving each other. I want us to be about serving the Lord. We've got to understand there is a certain amount of holiness God requires of His people. You can't live your life any way you want. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's simple, and yet it's hard. We got to walk through this thing. Sin is devouring the Church of Jesus Christ. People are doing as they please and calling themselves followers of Jesus. People are not looking at the truth of the Word of God. And my desire is to make sure that we here at Bethel recognize that God's Word is true and we must follow it. You cannot live your life any way you want. You cannot lie and cheat and steal take advantage of other people. You cannot be an idolater. Adultery is wrong. Know that. Fornication, which is sleeping with somebody that's not your spouse. And it covers a whole vast area. But boyfriends and girlfriends, don't do that. Men and women, don't do that. It's wrong. It'll destroy your life. God has created us in His image, and He expects us to walk according to His will for our lives. Now, my message is not one of condemnation this morning. My message is one of purity and strength and power to know that Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. And His desire for us to live holy lives is for our benefit. What does He get out of it? He is already holy and righteous. It's for our benefit, so that we can walk in such a way that is not only pleasing to Him, but that benefits us in our life. We first started talking about serving the Lord. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways and to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Deuteronomy 10:12. So we talked last week about this being a heart condition. There has to be a renewing of your spirit. You know, when you're born again, something should change inside of you. When you make that commitment, whether you're standing, whether you're kneeling, whether you're laying, I don't care where you are, when you move from that position after praying the prayer of repentance and salvation, there should be a new person walking away. You're different. You've changed. You're not perfect, but your heart's desire has completely changed. You desire to serve the Lord. You desire to do the right things. It's a heart condition that translates into a soul condition of the renewing of the mind that ultimately becomes actions in your life. You are a changed person. And other people around you know that you're a changed person. I spoke with somebody on Saturday down at the Chester Center where we were doing Upward. Someone that knew me years ago. And, you know, it was great to see him and talk to him. I hadn't seen him for many years. But, you know, the first thing he said to me, he said, you know, God has really done a work in your life. You're just a different person today. Thank God people can see that. If you knew me before Christ, you know Christ has done an incredible work in my life. I am not the same person. I am not the person that was used by the enemy to destroy and tear down people. I am a new creature in Christ, meant to build up and encourage and instill hope in the body of Christ. I hope that doesn't sound arrogant, because that's not what it was meant to be. God changes are incredible. And I'm thank God that I can look back and say, man, look what my God has done. It was nothing. I had nothing to do with it other than I chose the right way. I made the right choice at the right time. Other than that, I had nothing, absolutely nothing to do with what God is doing inside of me. All right. What I want to share with you this morning is that God's serving the Lord has its rewards. But I want you to understand this as I say that. I want you to know that that doesn't mean that life is going to be a bed of roses just because you serve the Lord. In fact, I can tell you it's probably going to be just the opposite, at least for a while in your life. When you make a decision to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the enemy throws everything he has at you to try to stop you. And he will never stop. That's his job. He's trying to stop you. He's trying to keep you from doing the things that God wants you to do. He's trying to keep you from fulfilling the destiny that God has placed on your life. And every one of you have a destiny that comes from God. It's a new destiny that has been placed upon you. Deuteronomy 11:15, "And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." What are we going to do? We're going to obey his commandments. If we do that, God promises something. Verse 11 or 16 and 17 says this, "Then I will give you the rain for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and your oil. And I will send grass in your field for your livestock, that you may eat and be filled." Hallelujah. God has promised that obeying him has benefits. And his benefits are that he's going to provide for us everything that we need so that we can become prosperous in all that we do. He didn't say, "I'm going to do it for you." He said, "I'm going to provide all these things that are necessary so that you can accomplish being as prosperous for my kingdom as you can be." So we recognize that God has promised that there's things that he's going to do for us. We can trust that. He is on our side. We have an enemy that hates you. His desire is to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You can trust that. Absolutely. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him." Don't forget, it's telling us that we must diligently chase after God. With everything. Diligence means that you use everything you've got to accomplish it. You understand how important it is. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus' disciples have come, they come to Jesus. Jesus had given a lengthy message, and they came to him and said, "Jesus, we have given up everything to follow you." Everything. Given up our families, we walked away from everything, that we've given up our careers. We've given up everything to follow you, Lord. And this is what Jesus says to them. Go ahead, Mark 10:29. You have that one? Don't have it? All right. Guess I messed up. Didn't give that to you. Sorry about that. I have it right here. Jesus 10:29. "So Jesus answered and said, 'Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's.'" And then he goes on in the next verse and he says, "Anyone who's given up all these things will in the age to come, will receive 100-fold, and in the age to come, eternal life." But he says something else that we all must look at and recognize is a part of being a Christian. And he said, "With persecution." There's going to be trouble. There's going to be issues that are going to, we do have an enemy that's going to do his very best to keep us from doing and being everything that God wants us to be. There's going to be some persecution in this world. If you think that we're going to be able to be the church of Jesus Christ, the kind of church that walked in the first century, cast out devils, did miracles, preached the gospel, if you think we're going to be that kind of church and be accepted by the world, you're sadly mistaken. Look what happened to the early church. They were persecuted. and they grew even stronger. Stronger and bigger and more powerful because they didn't care about the person. They didn't count their lives as being that important. It was the kingdom. There's going to be some persecution. Do we realize how much persecution there has been in the world? We don't, because we live in a relatively safe society where you can worship God any way you want to. I think there's more and more difficulty in that coming our way as we look around in our world. This politically correct speech is a self-imposed way to keep people from sharing their faith. So we need to be really careful with that. Now, I'm not, there's some politically correct things that are good, you know. We shouldn't be going around calling people names and doing evil things to people that hurt people just by the words that come out of our mouth. But listen, we're being stifled in our proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ because we're afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. We would rather not hurt somebody's feelings and watch them go to hell than to hurt their feelings. It's time for the body of Christ to get some boldness. Pray for boldness. I want to be bold for the kingdom. Persecution is a part of being the body of Christ. The 20th century, we saw more persecution in the 20th century than we saw in all the centuries prior to that. People were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. Not here, but all over the world. The 21st century is shaping up to be even worse than the 20th century. Already we're seeing people being persecuted and killed merely because they say they serve Jesus. They haven't done anything wrong, but they say we serve the living God. And we recognize His Son Jesus as our Savior. And they're martyred for it. Over 100,000 people every year are being martyred for the name of Jesus. And we don't like to hear those kind of things. And we don't like to think that maybe that could possibly come our way. I'm not telling you that it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm just telling you, if our society continues to slide down the slippery slope that we're headed right now, that's where ultimately it's going to end up. Pray for revival. Let's get out and be the church. Let's see things change. It can happen. But I can tell you this, other parts of the world are praying that the United States Christians will suffer some. Because they understand that in suffering, the church becomes stronger. Iran is one of the number one places for persecution of the body of Christ. And the church is the strongest in Iran than it is in all the world. And it's growing in leaps and bounds, even in the midst of the great persecution that's taking place. Who are we serving? Are we really serving the Lord? Are we willing to feel a little uncomfortable in order to serve Him the way He wants us to serve? Or are we serving ourselves? You know, we got to ask ourselves. And I hate to bring these things to your attention, but I want you to examine yourself. If they came to us today and said, deny Christ or die, what would your decision be? You need to think about it now before you were ever put in that position. Because then it may be too late. You have to be steadfast in knowing that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, and that serving Him even unto death is worth it. Our God is awesome. He's mighty. Listen, I have, and I know that I've shared this with you before, that I have not made an absolute decision about what I believe in regards to the rapture. I've studied it. I've studied pre-trib rapture, mid-trib, post-trib rapture. I'm not a big rapture person. But I want you to understand this. I do understand that the scripture tells us there's going to be a catching away. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up to be with the Lord forever. Hallelujah. So there is something going on, and we should look for it. So, and I say that in preparation to say this to you. The thing that I have against some of the preaching in regards to the rapture is that the teaching goes along the line that, you know, we've not been appointed to wrath. And that's exactly what the scripture says. We've not been appointed to wrath. And that's awesome. We have not. However, in the minds of most Christians in the United States, in the Western world, when we say you've not been appointed to wrath, we automatically begin to equate that with we've not been appointed to persecution. And the scripture is full of examples that we can expect persecution. Therefore, here's what I want us to make sure that we understand when it comes to the preaching and the teaching of the rapture. And whatever position you're in, that's awesome. You know, I don't care. I just care that you're serving the Lord, that you have your faith in Him. But whatever position you take on this, make sure that you understand that Jesus is not coming to rescue us from the persecution of this world. Because He said we're going to go through that. He's coming back to rescue the body of Christ and to teach the world about His kingdom. Yes. He's coming back to show us His awesome power when He returns. He left here as the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. When He comes back, He's going to roar back into this world as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When the kingdom of God is going to be established. That's what we need to look at. That's what we need to be expecting. That's what our expectations, our hope and glory is all about. Now, I tell you this, and I say this because there's examples in history of preaching about the rapture that led people a little bit astray. In the early 1800s, mid-1800s, the body of Christ here in the United States and the Western world sent thousands of missionaries to China. Those missionaries went to China and they preached a Western gospel. And in preaching their Western gospel, many of them preached about the rapture and the coming of the Lord and the deliverance and they were not appointed to wrath. And believe it or not, even though some of them tried to make it perfectly clear, they're not talking about persecution. In most people's minds, it was equated with persecution. So when the communists, the Boxer Rebellion, happened in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and the communists took over, and great persecution came over the church. Thousands and thousands and thousands were martyred for the name of Jesus Christ. When that happened, many of the believers in Jesus Christ went to their leaders and said, "You told us this wouldn't happen." I'm telling you, it can happen. And I don't want to leave you with that this morning. I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with the reality that, yes, God has not appointed us unto wrath. God is with us. He's on our side. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But let's get our minds off of being rescued by a secret rapture, and let's get our minds on doing what God, Jesus told us to do. Occupy until I come. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Do business is what He said. Do business until I come. Let's be about kingdom work. Listen, there is nothing more exciting and glorious and probably that stirs more contentment and joy in our lives than seeing the kingdom of God established in this earth. My overall desire is that this church would be everything Christ wants us to be. That we will reach people. We will touch people. We will minister to people. We will love people. We will serve people with the love of Jesus Christ. I have great hope for our future. I see great things happening. Doesn't matter what's going on, the turmoil that's happening in the world, that doesn't matter. What matters is what's happening in the kingdom of God. And we're part of that kingdom. The kingdom is being expanded in this earth. But it will only be expanded by people who understand their position as servants. Not as those who are consumers. Consumers are going to come and consumers are going to go. You know, there's certain restaurants that I go to. I like those restaurants, but sometimes I don't get the best service in those restaurants. And when I don't get the best service, I tell them that we didn't get the best service. My wife is really good about that. For years, anytime we went to a restaurant, she always got a burnt steak or her vegetables wasn't cooked right. I mean, something would always happen. Now, she's not a complainer, but it just seemed like it would always happen. And she's really good about saying, hey, this is not right. But, you know, I'm not going to name this restaurant, but we went to a restaurant that was just established in Parkersburg. And we went there for the first time. And the service was horrible. She told him about it. She said, well, I don't like the way that I was treated. The managers didn't do anything about it. Therefore, she won't go back to that place. And I think we went back one time. But this has been several years ago. She doesn't like to go in that place because she feels like they let her down. If we're not careful, if we're not the kind of servants that God has called us to be.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, the world's going to look at us and say, and rightfully so, you're letting us down.
Yep.
Someday, Jesus is going to come back, and when he does, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, I never knew you. Wow, servant. Good and faithful servant. Those are the words we want to hear. Amen?
Amen.
Wow. I want to ask you to stand with me this morning. I hope I haven't beat you up too much this morning. Really. Really not my desire. I do want you to leave this place encouraged, knowing that you are children of the Most High God. But I also want to encourage you to act like it. The world should be able to look at us and say, you know, there's something different about those people. They truly believe in that Bible that they say they believe in. And without that witness, the world is going to be lost. I believe we're living in a day and time. These are the days of Elijah. I believe we're going to see supernatural things take place. And I continue to pray that God will give each and every one of us the boldness that we need to be able to minister to people out there. You know, it's awesome to come here, warm, nice, warm place, good music, praise God, fellowship with one another. It's awesome to come in here. But this is not all there is to the kingdom work. This is just, we are equipping each other to go out and do the work of the ministry. There's much to be done. And I praise God for the servants that He has given us here at Bethel. I love every one of you, and I'm thankful that I get to worship with you. I get to be a part of your life, and you get to be a part of my life. I love you. God loves you. But there's work to be done. We're going to go do it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, You've given us Your will and Your direction. You've given us everything that we need for life and godliness. You've equipped us. We have tools. We have weapons. We have gifts. Lord, help us to use those as we go out into the world. Help us to use them to touch the lives of others and to serve others wherever we go. Father, Your kingdom must be established in this earth. Help us to spread that wherever we go. We are kingdom ambassadors, and we will be about Your work in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you have been blessed by this message. Our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit us at bethelwc.org. And remember, love never fails.